Again, we're looking at the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Looking at things that are prohibited by the commandment because they lead to, contribute to this sin. The last couple of weeks we've been on dress, or to dress modestly. That's for male and female. The Bible does, I believe, put a little more emphasis on the female, but it applies to both. We've seen thus far that the shame of nakedness, and the reason for that is our sinful nature. Before sin entered, Adam and Eve were naked and there was no shame. And people draw a wrong conclusion from that at times. They say because they were naked and there was no shame, so it's no different today. But there's huge difference. And that, of course, being the sin nature. We've seen that clothing, of course, is to cover. It's to cover nakedness. That's the purpose of clothing. It's the primary purpose of clothing is to cover. So common sense kicks in. If it does not cover, then it does not meet the criteria of modest, can't be revealing, and we went through all of that last week. See also that clothing, of course, sends a message, and we all know this. I mean, you go for a job interview, you dress, hopefully, in a different way than you would if you're working out in the yard. And the reason is because clothing does send a message. There's no getting around that, and people say, well, that's not fair. Well, it's the way it is. Clothing sends a message. If you see a man in a police uniform, that sends a message to me that he's a policeman. I mean, clothes send a message. And we ought to, as children of God, we ought to want to send the right message. In Proverbs 7 and verse 10, showing that clothing does send a message, I'll also say clothing, what we wear, has an effect upon behavior. If I'm in a pair of blue jeans and a casual shirt, I may do some things that I wouldn't do dressed like I am now. So clothing can change our behavior as well, change the way we feel. In Proverbs 7, verse 10, Proverbs 7, verse 10, Solomon here is looking out his window and he's telling a story of a young man going by the corner of a harlot. How did he know she was a harlot? Because there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that everyone who wears the attire of a harlot is a harlot. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that this woman's clothing manifested that she was a harlot. That is, it sent a message. And we see also the condition of her heart is mentioned, which brings us to our point this morning. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, he spoke of the men in verse 8, and then he said, in like manner also. Now he's going to speak to women. The women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That women adorn or clothe themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. The women adorn or clothe themselves, cover themselves, that's the purpose of clothing, in modest apparel. It does not say that women are to adorn themselves in apparel. That's not what it says. It says that they are to, it states the manner of the apparel. It is to be modest. Modest. Immediately someone asks, well, what's modest? It's what covers. I mean, it's very simple. Does not cover, it's not modest. And I'm talking about covering parts of the body that would, the opposite sex would be attracted to. So he states the manner in which they're to clothe themselves, modest. The word modest here means well-ordered, so means we're not to dress sloppy. It's well-ordered. It's well-ordered in a moral sense, meaning that it is not forward. It is not sexually suggestive. If it is sexually suggestive, it is not modest. It is immodest. Again, someone says, well, if someone lusts after me, that's their problem. You're half right. It is their problem. But it's also your problem if you've dressed in a way to provoke such lust. And I'm quite aware that you can go around in a sack and still people lust. Now it's their problem. But our clothing is to be well ordered in a moral sense, not forward or sexually suggestive. Conveys the idea of reverence. Modest. Conveys the idea of reverence. We're to clothe ourselves in a reverent way. Suggests the idea of circumspect, that which is in accord with chastity and purity. We do need to say that modest dress does not make one spiritual. You can dress right, that does not mean that you're right with God. That does not mean that you are spiritually healthy. But we are to dress, whether you're spiritually healthy or not, we are to dress in a modest manner. And this brings us to the next point. Again, modest dress does not make you spiritual. And just as we were back in Proverbs 7 and verse 10, the attire of a harlot, and then after that was mentioned, the condition of her heart. Notice here in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, adorn themselves in modest apparel with. That means accompanied by. This modest apparel is to be accompanied by something. There's something that is to go along with it. And this is what addresses the spiritual condition. With shamefacedness. Those words state the spirit in which we are to clothe ourselves. So it's not just a matter of putting on clothing. It's not just a matter of putting on modest clothing. It is a matter of the spirit in which we do it also. Modest apparel with shamefacedness. Again, this is the importance of recognizing every word. With. It's a very important connection that is being made here, and this is an emphasis that has been missed for decades. Modest with shamefacedness. So what is shamefacedness? Well, shamefacedness is a moral feeling. It is a moral feeling of reverence, of awe, and respect. So the idea suggested is that you would put on modest apparel, and you would do that with the feeling of reverence to God, in awe and respect of God. He's going to be there. He's everywhere. He's going to see us. So we are to clothe ourselves with this feeling of reverence to God. So even if one dresses modestly, that's a good thing. But it's important that they have this feeling of reverence, awe, and respect. And I believe if you have that feeling, you will dress modestly. It is a state of mind, shamefacedness. It's an attitude. It's a state of mind and attitude that causes us to be concerned, is this modest? Does this cover? What kind of message am I sending? That's the attitude. So it suggests that when we dress ourselves, we're to give it thought. And I'm not just talking about does this color go with this color, or does this pattern go with this pattern. That's not the kind of thought I'm talking about. But a state of mind that causes us to be concerned. Is this modest? And it's not, is this modest by the standards of the world? Because the world's standards are skewed. Is this modest by God's standard? What's God's standard? Cover. Cover. So we're to dress modestly with shamefacedness. Now, almost any time the subject of modesty is mentioned, someone will ask, where exactly is the line between modest and immodest? Where is that line? You see, that very question indicates a problem. It really does. Where's the line? Well, shamefacedness answers the line question. Shamefacedness answers the line question. It addresses that question. The one who possesses shamefacedness, this reverence, this awe, this respect for themselves, for others, most importantly for God. The one who possesses this shamefacedness has no desire to get near the line. They have no desire to get near the line. Now, most people, I'm not saying in every case, but most people, when they ask, where is the line? It's because they want to get as close to the line as they can possibly get. Shamefacedness doesn't want to get close to the line. Not even close. Again, when we were in, I've used this as an example many times. When we were in Kentucky, there was people that were called holiness people. It's a bad term for them, really, but that's what they were called. And they dressed very modestly. In fact, they would consider all of us here immodest. They covered their arms. Some of them covered their hands. They were covered. I mean, it could be 108 in the shade, and it might be a roofer, and a lot of them were in that business. And they would be up on that roof, long sleeves, and that's the way they dressed. My children at one point, kind of making fun of them one day, and I said, don't ever make fun of somebody for covering themselves. Don't do that. Now, I respect them for that. Do I believe that it's necessary to go to that length? Obviously, I don't. But they covered themselves. Now, whether they had shamefacedness or not, that's between them and God. But they weren't getting anywhere near the line. Clothing is to be modest with shamefacedness. So there's a spirit of reverence. A spirit of reverence. You can dress modestly and still be irreverent. So the whole picture is you dress modestly and you have a right spirit. That's the whole picture. And we must concern ourselves with the whole picture. If all we do is concern ourselves with one part of the picture, just the clothing, then that creates a lot of other problems. It creates a lot of other bad spirit. So we need to concern ourselves with the whole picture. But it's modest with shamefacedness and sobriety. Sobriety. Now, sobriety, of course, is the opposite of drunkenness. When someone is drunk, they lack good judgment. Sobriety is with good judgment. So we are to dress in modest apparel with shamefacedness, with reverence, respect, and awe. And this is to be with good judgment. If it's 42 below zero, good judgment is you put on a winter coat. That's good judgment. But good judgment, of course, goes much further than this. This is in the context of modest. It's not good judgment to dress immodestly. We are to dress modestly with shamefacedness and sobriety with good judgment. It also means self-control. When someone is drunk, the opposite of sobriety, they lose control of motions or whatever. So our dress is to be with good judgment and self-control. It signifies a command or a dominion over bodily and fleshly passions. It's a restraint. So we are to dress modestly. We're to do that with a spirit of reverence and awe and respect. We're to dress in a way that restrains, a way that restrains, a way that exercises restraint. People sit differently by the way they are dressed. If you are constantly pulling and tugging, an alarm should go off in your head. I should not have to do this. Why do I have to do this? Because you've gotten close or you've passed the so-called lying. So you take someone who, take a woman in pants. A woman in pants usually sits differently than when she's wearing a dress. She sits in a different way. You can tell many times the way that some sit in a dress that they're not accustomed to being in a dress because they sit as if they had pants on. So it's a command or dominion over our body, this sobriety. We're to be in control of our body, and we are to restrain it. Not only that, our clothing should have some restraint upon how others look as well. So it is the condition of the heart. Shamefacedness and sobriety that causes one to draw away from trespassing the boundaries of propriety. The shamefacedness, the reverence, the awe, and the respect for God will result. These two things go together. You can't have one without having the other. Shamefacedness results in sobriety. How do we know if we have this sobriety? Well, we need to ask ourselves questions. Why am I wearing this? And I'm not talking about, well, I'm wearing this today because I'm working in the garden, therefore I have a pair of jeans. That's not what I'm talking about. Why am I wearing this? Why am I wearing this? Am I wearing this so that someone will find me attractive? That is only acceptable in the bounds of marriage, within your house. So we need to ask that question. Why am I wearing this? Most people, it doesn't do any good to ask that question because they're not going to honestly answer it. Once again, if you're going to ask ourselves a question, maybe we must be willing to honestly answer the question. Someone wears something that is very revealing and has the audacity of saying, well, I didn't mean anything by it. I wasn't born yesterday. Whether you realize it or not, you did mean something about it. Why am I wearing this? Is what I'm wearing in any way inviting the lust of the opposite sex? Once again, I realize people can lust no matter what you wear. Quite aware of that. But that's their problem. But our responsibility is what I'm wearing in any way inviting to the opposite sex? If it is, then you shouldn't wear it. But you need to also ask yourself another question. If it is and you wear it, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And that gets into a spiritual matter. Is what I'm wearing hinder my profession of godliness? In other words, what message am I sending with my clothes? What message am I sending? So the words shamefacedness and sobriety speak of a condition of the heart. They are the elements of Christian character. And they are linked. No matter how hard you try to unlink them, they are linked to how we dress. You cannot get away from that. Modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And we've run out of time. But again, these are things that I believe are covered, not directly, of course, but covered under the seventh commandment. We should not want to do anything, whether it be our speech, our body language, our clothing, anything that would promote or contribute in any way to that which is sexually unclean. A person who possesses shamefacedness, sobriety, has no desire to go there. So really, that's the key issue, is the sobriety and shamefacedness. That takes care of it. That takes care of everything. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the instruction that you give us in your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would always help us, always to be concerned, always be mindful that you see everything that we do and every behavior. And Lord, help us to always be mindful of that. We pray that you would meet with us today in a special way, that you would draw us close to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.